Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
I hate the TSA checkpoint before a flight in the airport. Like, I understand why it's necessary, but I still hate it. Like, having to take out your computer, take off your shoes. God forbid you're wearing a belt. Some people try to kind of sneak things through TSA. It's unbelievable. And so I want to show you some pictures. These are not made up. This is not a joke. These are actual pictures that TSA agents took of things people tried to get through. So here's one, which, no, that would not concern me. That couldn't be used as a weapon, could it? How about this one? Someone went on with, like, that wouldn't worry me at all if someone on my flight sitting next to me is wearing that mask. How about this? Is that blood? I'm pretty sure that's blood. Another one. And the name of the passenger who had this was Freddy Krueger. I don't know about that, but someone really tried to get it through. Someone tried to get through, maybe they let you through, walk through with a bat, but putting barbed wire around your bat was your mistake, I think. And then check this one out. Look carefully. Over here, that's a live python that someone tried to sneak through in a nylon stocking. A live python. And then the last one, sure, bring your bomb on the airplane. Bombs, yeah, just bring, that's good. Man, crazy. So why do they have TSA at the airport? Well, because that flight is valuable, right? Because you have to protect that flight from any unwanted intruders, because you want to make sure the flight gets to its intended destination. All of that is really important. And today we're going to talk about TSA, a different kind of TSA. I want to tell you why you need to install checkpoints in your mind. Why do you need TSA in your mind? Well, because your life is valuable, because you have to protect your thinking from unwanted intruders, because you want to make sure that you get to your intended destination. Are you? Are you living the life you want to live? I'm not asking if your life is horrible. It's probably not. I'm asking, are you living the life you want to live? Like if you design the life that you want to live, would this be it? Are your relationships what you want them to be? How about your health, fitness? I'm not. Your career, finances, spiritually, are you where you want to be? I'm not. How about your marriage, your parenting? What about emotionally? Would you say that you're filled with peace and joy and hope? Are you living the life that you want to live? My guess is that most of us are not, right? Not that our lives are horrible, but it's not quite what I wish it was. And we think it's going to change. Like, it's going to change. Things are going to get better. And yeah, they will if we make a change, right? It's just like driving a car. If you're driving down a road, you're going to keep driving down the same road in the same direction unless you turn. And in the same way, whatever direction your life is heading, it's going to keep heading in the same direction unless you make a change. But too often we don't. It may be that we just don't know how to change. It may be that we're scared to change, and so we don't. We keep heading in the wrong direction, and we pretend like everything is just fine. Today, I'm hoping that we will leave here deciding that we're going to make a change. And even more important, that we'll know how to make a change that will actually last. What we're going to do in our brand new series, Fight Club, is we're going to learn how to fight the battle for our minds. Because your life is so important, it's so valuable, and you need to make sure that you get to the intended destination you want to get to. And because your thought life shapes your life. Your thought life shapes your life. It leads you where you want to go. So God tells us that in the Bible, like, a lot. So one verse is in Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And what that's saying is, your thought life is shaping who you are becoming. But you don't have to believe the Bible to believe this. There's been so much research, so many studies that prove your thoughts shape your life and lead you where you end up going. Your thoughts are kind of like airplanes. They take you somewhere. Like you wouldn't just go to the airport and just jump on any plane, right? I'm going to get on this plane and just see where it goes. No, you wouldn't do that, right? You want to know where the plane is going before you get on it. And every thought takes you somewhere. It might just feel like, no, it's just a thought. No, it is a thought that is taking you somewhere. Every thought sends you in a direction. It leads to a destination. Your thought life shapes your life. Now, how that thought is influencing you may be very obvious at times. Like, if you think, I want to kill you, and if you let it, that thought will lead you to murder, right? But sometimes the thoughts that we jump on are not so obvious, and where they're taking us, we may not realize. So we might have thoughts like, I am never going to achieve my dreams. Or, I'm defined by my sin. I'm not smart enough. I don't think I'm going to be able to see my kids when they grow up. I'm never going to be able to top that success that I had. No one loves me. I don't have what it takes. I'll never escape my past. I don't deserve anything good. If you jump on that plane, it will take you somewhere. If you let yourself think those thoughts, they will shape your life, whether you realize it or not. And then you'll wonder, why is my life the way it is? Why do I always have these kind of relationships? Why is my career always like this? It's because you allowed yourself to think those thoughts. And it's not just negative, self-directed thoughts. It can also be obsessing about what other people think of you or being suspicious of other people's motives or having a victim mentality where you're always blaming God or blaming other people or worrying incessantly or secretly being happy when bad things happen to someone you don't really like or fearing that someone you love is going to be harmed or die or stewing over something that happened to you. And again, you might say, well, I mean, that's just how I feel. It's just a feeling that you have. It's just what people think. It's what you think. No, it's not. Those thoughts take you somewhere. You're not just feeling or just thinking. You are shaping your life by the thoughts you allow yourself to think. Good news is you have a choice. You get to choose what you think, which brings us back to TSA. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you to install a TSA-style checkpoint in your mind. Okay, so imagine installing in your mind this X-ray check-in station that examines each thought before you allow it to come in and settle in your mind. You realize that you get to choose your thoughts, and so you decide from now on, every thought that comes knocking, I'm going to examine it before I allow it to come out and hang in my mind. Now, not only can you do this, you can. And not only is it a wise thing to do, it is. It's also something that God commands you to do. The reason God commands you to do it is because he loves you. The reason for all of God's commands are because he loves you. And one of the things that God tells us to do is to filter our thoughts before we allow them to come into our mind. So here's one place God tells us this in a book called Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, and now, and we put all the verses on the screen, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's saying that we need to have a screening process for our thoughts. For every single thought, we have to go, wait, hold up, you can't just come in here yet. Are you true? No? Then you are denied entry. Are you an honorable thought? No? Well, sorry, I can't think that thought then. Are you pure? I am not allowing any more impure thoughts in my mind. Bye-bye. Right? Can you imagine if you did this? Like, can you imagine what a game changer it would be if every day when you're driving to work or when you're doing the laundry or you're walking to third period or you're running on a treadmill or you're waiting to fall asleep, you only allowed into your mind thoughts that are true and pure and lovely and excellent? Well, like, can you imagine how your life would change? Can you imagine how much more peace and joy you would have? You can. Like, you can have that. Your life can change in that way. But to do that, you have to put a TSA in your mind. It's necessary because you have thoughts hitting you all the time. All the time there's thoughts, right? And you can't just let them in. So there was a study done back in the 1980s that revealed people have, on average, 500 intrusive thoughts in every 16-hour period. On average, each of those thoughts lasts 14 seconds. They found that most of those intrusive thoughts are worries or just anxious thoughts that are unproductive. 18% are thoughts that are like mean towards others, and 13% are like ugly and downright shocking, like you don't want anybody to know you would ever think something like that. You put that all together, that's 116 minutes, so right about 2 hours a day of every 16-hour waking day of some sort of unwanted, unwelcome, unhelpful thought that is going to take you, if you let it, to a place where you don't want to go. It's going to shape your life in a way that you do not want your life to be shaped. Now, to be clear, the problem is not that those thoughts show up. They're always going to show up for all of us. The problem is that when we invite them in and they pull out the sofa bed and spend the night. That's the problem. And this is why we have to install checkpoints in our minds. Without that kind of filter, you risk 2 hours of thought sneaking into you and shaping your life in a way that you don't want to be shaped. But when you put in this TSA and force every thought to go through this screening process, you are going to take control of your life back from fear, from shame, from jealousy, from guilt, from doubt, from anger. And as you start being more thoughtful about your thought life, you're going to discover that it's not just these kind of random, negative, intrusive thoughts that come, but you'll realize that you have also come to believe some lies. Like, there are lies that you believe about yourself, about life, about other people, about God, and that it's not just that you believe a lie, you have actually built your life on a lie that you believe. So in the Bible, these lies that we believe and base our lives on are called strongholds. Strongholds. The deal is, it was kind of like an analogy that the Bible writers were using. Back in ancient times, a stronghold was actually a building. And so every single city had a stronghold. It would be built, it was like a fortress that was built on the highest mountain or the highest peak in that city. And so it was pretty much like unapproachable and impenetrable. And it was there in case the city was attacked. What they would do is they would take the officials of the city, the governors, the politicians, and they would get them to the stronghold, knowing the opposing army is not going to be able to go up that mountain. They're not going to be able to tear down the walls of this fortress. And so it protected the officials. So in the Bible, there's this comparison made that the lies that we believe and base our lives on are kind of like those fortresses. We keep these lies protected. Right? They're impenetrable. Like, you could give me all the evidence in the world that what I believe is not true, but it's like, I'm still going to believe it because it's like, I protect this lie. And there are these mental strongholds we have. You can remember the phrase because it's like these lies that have a strong hold on us. So there's a verse in the Bible that sounds like it's just kind of a military advice. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 22. And it says this, a wise man attacks the city of the mighty and pulls down the stronghold in which they trust. The idea is, if you're attacking a city, you better make sure that you get the stronghold. Because if you don't, if you attack the city and win a victory in that battle, but don't take the more difficult action of bringing down the stronghold, the city's going to reestablish itself, right? Because you let the leaders live, and so they're going to come back, and they're going to reform and reestablish, and they're going to attack you back. And so bring down the stronghold. And this verse is actually an analogy, a metaphor for us. It's saying, if you want to change your life, it is not enough for you to just change your behavior. But that's what we always try to do, isn't it? Right? Like, we make goals. I'm going to start reading every day. We make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. It's just behavior modification. And then what happens is we win some battles. It's like, well, I'm doing good. And then all of a sudden it's like, what happened? I'm back to where I was. I'm doing the same old things, where I stopped doing the good thing I wanted to do. What happened? I didn't change my thinking. And your behavior always flows out of your thinking. If you don't change your thinking, any behavior change you ever make in life will not last. So another place the Bible talks about this with the same stronghold analogy is in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians was written to people who lived in a city called Corinth. It's in Greece. And they're just like us. These people are trying to live life right. And here's the advice they get. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they, our weapons, have divine power to demolish strongholds. So the people in Corinth would have been like, oh, the fortress. But then it's clear that's not what he's talking about, because he says, we demolish strongholds. Here's what we demolish: arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So it says our strongholds are the arguments and the pretensions, the ways we have of thinking that run counter to the truth. And it says it's these lies that we believe and base our lives on, right? And so it says what we need to do is demolish those strongholds. If we want to change our lives, we need to change our thinking. And so we are going to fight. We are going to fight. We are going to attack those lies. And good news, we've got weapons to attack them with. It says it's not the weapons of this world, right? The weapons of this world are setting goals and making New Year's resolutions and I'm going to do this. No. We have spiritual weapons that have divine power, God's power. God's weapons that he has given us to demolish strongholds are prayer and truth. Prayer and truth. So prayer is just talking to God. Like we make it complicated and try to throw in some big words. It's just talking to God. It's a conversation with God. It's confessing to God, and it's making requests of God. So with these lies that we believe, we need to confess. God, I'm realizing I believe some lies. Like, I believed them forever. I've based my life on it. And I also realize I don't have the power to stop believing those lies, but you have the power I need. So we make a request of God. God, would you please give me the power to see the lie, to stop believing the lie, and to start living by the truth? The weapons we have are prayer and truth. Prayer and truth. So you can't, we'll think of it this way. You can't stop thinking about something by trying to stop thinking about it, right? Like the famous thing, you can't stop thinking about pink elephants by having someone say, stop, right? So everybody right now, ready? Think about pink elephants. Now stop thinking about pink elephants. You can't, right? It's like, why did you tell us about pink elephants? Now I can only think about pink elephants. You can't stop thinking about pink elephants by being told to stop thinking about pink elephants. The way you can stop thinking about pink elephants is if I say, start thinking about pink flamingos, right? Look at these flamingos. They're awesome. Like, look at the color in these flamingos. That's the most cool pink. Here's what I'm, and their necks are so long. The thing I want to know is, why do they stand on one leg? Like, are they showing off? Is it exercise? Is it like a Karate Kid kind of thing? Like, they're about to do the move. And why are some of these flamingos, like, why are so many of their heads in the water? Are they drinking? Are they looking for food? I don't know what they're doing. Has anyone ever gone over to the flamingo on the strip and seen all the pink flamingos? Have you guys seen those pink flamingos? Now back to pink elephants. Oh yeah, we were talking about pink elephants, right? But you can stop thinking about pink elephants if you start thinking about pink flamingos. So in the same way, here's the truth about us. It is not enough to recognize a lie and decide you're not going to believe it anymore. It won't work. You have to replace that lie with truth. Replace the lie with truth. Did you notice, so that passage we just read in 2 Corinthians, it said, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's that TSA checkpoint idea. Every thought that wants to gain entry into our minds, it's like you grab it, you hold it up, and you say, wait, are you true? Because I made a decision. I don't let lies come in anymore. I only think true thoughts. So with every single thought that presents itself to us, we grab it and we see if it matches up with truth. Great example of this in the Bible. There's this time when Jesus is out in the desert, he's alone, and he's tempted. And every temptation that comes at him, just like ours, is a lie. It's a deceitful thought that is offered to Jesus, and Jesus is asked to believe that thought and to base his life on it, just like we are. And every time, the way Jesus responds to the lie is by quoting a verse from the Bible. He examines this thought, identifies it as a lie, rejects it, you can't come into my mind, and instead he chooses to replace it with God's truth. That is why, and you hear this all the time here, that is why it's so important for us to know the Bible. Not because we should know the Bible if we're Christians. No, because we need to know the Bible. So, like, that's why it's so important that that you come here every week. Because, like, not when it's, like, I'm having a good weekend. I think I can make it this weekend. We don't have much going on. No, like, every single weekend. Because every weekend we learn the Bible together. And it's why it's so important for you to read the Bible every single day. Yeah, you'll miss once in a while, but to have a commitment, my habit, every single day. Not because, well, isn't there some sort of like religious checklist and we need to check everything off? Or no, not that's not why. It's because we need to know the truth. Like, how can you identify lies if you don't know the truth? And if you recognize a lie, you need to have truth to replace it with. You need to read the Bible. That's why we give out Bibles. If you don't have an easy-to-read Bible at home, we give them out. We have English and Spanish Bibles back there. It's also why we give a Bible reading plan. Because if you're new to the Bible like I was when I became a Christian in my 20s, it's like, whoa, this is a big book and it's a bunch of little books. What do I read? And so we create this Bible reading plan. It's in the Bibles on a piece of paper, and it gives you one chapter a day to read. You can find that Bible reading plan also online at vervecatalyst.org. If you want to get out your phone and go there so you got it for later or write it down or something, it's totally cool. Vervecatalyst.org, which is kind of our spiritual growth resources website. Here's what I would encourage you to do, where you'll find the Bible reading plan. Subscribe at vervecatalyst.org. Nothing weird is going to happen. You're not going to start getting junk mail. What will happen is every single morning when you wake up, you're going to have this email that says, today's reading is with the chapter. It's actually a link. So if you want to read the Bible on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer, you can just click the link and it will take you right there. And the other thing that will be in this email are some study notes. So like the things, if you're new to the Bible and you're like, what's a stronghold? What are they talking about? Or like, why is this chapter all about circumcision? Why is it a big deal? It will tell you kind of like some backgrounds, like, oh, that's why. And some questions, like application questions, to help you to apply the Bible to your life. As you read the Bible, what will happen is more and more you're going to start identifying lies. You're going to be like, oh, I believe that, but that's not true. And you're going to have truth to replace the lies with. It's also why I encourage you, if you've been around, you're like, yeah, you do, to memorize some Bible verses, like memorize them, so that when you're tempted to believe a lie, just like Jesus did, you can respond in your mind or out loud if you want with this Bible verse that you have come to know. So what we're going to do is we are going to take captive every single thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's what that verse said. With prayer, we're going to recognize lies and then we're going to replace the lie with truth. Let me give you some examples of what this might look like, okay? Just in case you're like, I don't know if I get this. So let's say you realize that you have been living by the lie, if I just had more, I would be happy. I don't know what it is for you. If I just had more money, I'd be happy. If I had more sex, I'd be happy. If I had more success, I'd be happy. If I had more square footage in my house, I would be happy. That is a lie. Happiness does not come from a change of circumstances. It does not come from more of anything. That's been proven. If you're interested, Google it, and you'll see changing someone's circumstances does not change their happiness level. It never does. It's like people who are happy when they're poor are happy when they're rich, and if they're not happy when they're poor, it's all over the board. And so you decide, wait, I'm not going to allow myself to live my life by a lie anymore. I won't do it. Instead, I'm going to replace it with truth. Truth like God tells me in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, that I can be content regardless of my circumstances, because no matter what I don't have, I know what I do have, Jesus. And so I can always be content. See, you took the lie captive, you rejected it, and you made it obedient to Christ by knowing the truth. Or perhaps you realize that you've been living by the lie, man, because my life is so stressful, like, I just need some help to feel calm. I need a little help to feel peaceful. And so what I use is some wine, or what I use is some weed. That's a lie. And so you now go, wait, I'm going to identify that as a lie because that lie is shaping my life. You replace that lie with truth. I might need some help, but God is my help. He tells me to come to him when I feel weary or burdened or overwhelmed. That's a Bible verse. I can bring all my cares to him because he cares for me. That's a Bible verse. He is my refuge. That's a Bible verse. And he can give me peace that I cannot find in this world. That's a Bible verse. But like as you start reading the Bible, you start going, wait, I can replace the lie with truth that I'm learning about life from God. You might realize that you believe the lie, so I'm a victim. You wouldn't think it this way. No one ever thinks I'm a victim. The way you would think this is, the way I might think this is, nothing good ever happens to me. Even when something good happens, it ends up going bad. No one really helps me. I feel like I'm always the one who loses, always the one who misses out. Well, you don't believe lies anymore, and so you realize that, like, TSA would, nope, that does not get in. You don't allow that in anymore, and you replace that with the truth. God tells me in the Bible that I am not a victim. I am a victor in Christ. That, in fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I am an overcomer. In fact, it says, I am more than an overcomer through the strength of God who loves me. Or maybe you believe the lie, I don't really feel like I can trust God. Like I know he loves me, but I feel like if my life is going to go the way I want my life to go, I need to be in control. That's not true. That's a lie. And so that thought is prohibited from now on. You're only going to allow yourself to think true thoughts. And so you think when you have that thought, when it's tempting to believe that, nope. God loves me more than I love me. God knows more about my life than I do. He has a plan for my life. He has my best interest in mind. He can be trusted. If he gave his one and only son for me, what wouldn't he do for me? We're going to fight the battle for our minds, which is really the battle for our lives, with prayer and truth, the truth of God that he gives us in the Bible. And I want to encourage you to do something. Half of you are going to be really mad at me in about 22 seconds. You ready? Count in your head. I want to encourage you that you have to begin this battle first thing in the morning. Some of you are like, I can't even think. I don't even believe in God till I've had 3 cups of coffee. I get it. I understand. But you have to start first thing in the morning. Here's why. Not because Vince says so, or is there some Bible verse that says, nope. Here's why. Because of how your brain works. So there's a Yale professor named John Barg. And John Barg is a student, an expert on the human brain, on your brain. And for years, he's been conducting experiments on unsuspecting college students, which sounds bad, right? But to better understand, how does your and my brain work? And so one of the things he's really focused on is what he calls priming. So it's kind of like, and maybe you don't all know this, but when you're painting a wall, if you know what you're doing, you don't paint the wall, you paint primer on the wall, then you paint paint on the primer. And so what happens is you can't ever see the primer, you only see the paint. But what you can't see, the primer, is making all the difference in what you can see, the paint, right? Well, what John Barg has proven is that our brains, without us ever realizing it, get primed every day. So one of the many experiments he's done, one that's kind of fun, is he created this scrambled sentence test. And he made it look like an intelligence test. Well, one group of students took it, and he sprinkled rude words throughout the test. Words like disturb, bother, intrude. And then he had this other group of students take the same test, but their test was sprinkled with polite words like respect, considerate, yield. So both groups had no idea that that was, you know, part of their test. They just thought they were taking a simple intelligence test. And they took the 5-minute test, and then they were told to go down the hallway to the professor one at a time to get their next assignment. Well, an actor was strategically put in the office of the professor, and the actor and the professor were engaged in an ongoing conversation. The real study, the real goal was to see how long does it take the students to interrupt the conversation for their purposes. Turns out that the students who had been primed with rude words interrupted on average after standing there and listening for 5 minutes. But 82% of the students who were primed with kind words never interrupted at all. They just stood there endlessly waiting for the conversation to end, which didn't end. See, the students never picked up on the word trend in the test consciously, but their brains were still being primed by those words subconsciously, and it totally affected their decision-making and their behavior without them even realizing it. So what's been proven in all kinds of ways is that how your brain is thinking right now is totally influenced by what your brain was thinking about a couple minutes ago and a couple hours ago, and especially what your brain thought about first thing this morning. So what that means is that we need to prime our brain with God thoughts as early as possible. What that means is as quick as you can when you wake up, you want to spend some time, even if it's just a little, praying and reading the Bible. Even maybe if it's just a verse first thing in the morning, you're like, I can't do much more than that. The weapons we have to fight with our mind are prayer and the Bible. And the sooner we start engaging those weapons, the more impact they're going to have on everything else that happens. Every attitude you have, every interaction you have, every decision you make the rest of the day. And you won't even realize it. But because we primed our brain with God thoughts, it will help us for the rest of the day to have God thoughts and to have God instincts and to make godly decisions rest of the day. Okay, so we all get how this works, right? We're going to install a checkpoint in our minds. We no longer are going to be passive about what we think. It's not like, well, it's just thoughts, right? We are going to take control of our thought life, realizing if we don't, our thoughts will take control of our lives. We are going to examine every single thought, and if it's not lovely and admirable and excellent and pure, if it's not true, it doesn't get in. Yes, you're going to have them wanting to get in. They do not get in. And if we start to recognize that I have some deeply held lies, I believe lies about God, about myself, about life, these strongholds, we are going to demolish those strongholds with weapons that have divine power, prayer, and truth. That's our Fight Club assignment for this week and for the rest of our lives. I'm gonna be really honest with you. I debated this, but I'm going to be honest. This is not easy. It's not easy, okay? I don't want you to go, okay, I'm going to do this. And 3 days later, oh, I stink at this. I quit, okay? 3 days later, you are going to realize you stink at this, and you're going to keep going. You're going to be like, all right, I'm starting again, okay? You have to do this because this is your life. In fact, you want to hear something really fascinating. You get to judge, does Vince think the right things are fascinating? Is this fascinating? You decide. So Remember I told you about this ancient city of Corinth, and they received this letter that we now have in the Bible called 2 Corinthians. And so 2,000 years ago, they are the ones who read that verse that said, we demolish strongholds and we take captive every thought. Check this out. The ancient city of Corinth that had all these buildings and homes and barns and all this stuff, the only thing left from the ancient city of Corinth is the stronghold. That's it. So when they read the letter, that was their stronghold back 2,000 years ago, and that's it today. It still stands. Why? Because it's really difficult to demolish a stronghold, right? That's why it's built up in a place. It's like, who wants to go up there and have to fight a battle up there, right? It's really difficult to demolish a stronghold. For a city, that's a good thing. But for a person who is no longer going to let the strongholds dictate their life, that is not a good thing, right? It is really a dangerous thing because it will mess up your life if you don't demolish those lies that you believe. But that's not going to be our lives anymore. Not anymore, right? It's not easy, but we can do this. Like together and with God's help, we can do this. And so let's pray together for this. Let's pray as a family, as members of the Fight Club. Let's pray for this. Let's pray. God, what an awesome God you are that you want to lead us into better life. That you have this life that is bigger and better, and that you just don't, you know, tell us about it, that you give us the tools we need to actually live it. God, what we learn from you in the Bible and so much research has proven it over the years is that our thoughts will dictate and shape our lives. And so, God, if we're going to ever change and get the lives we want to live, the life that you have for us, it has to start with changing our thoughts. God, would you help us make a decision? Today, we're going to install these TSA checkpoints in our minds. And from now on, thoughts don't get in unless they are true and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy and pure. God, it's going to be hard and we're going to screw up tomorrow and next week, but God, would you keep us committed to this because we want to live the lives that we want to live. We pray all these things, God, in Jesus' name, amen.